I told Jerry about 3 o'clock that morning that he'd come, that God was fixing to take Brother Al out. I said to the others, it's a dangerous time for Al. A lot of times I say that because some folks don't have much wisdom. If you tell them something, they go to a person and discourage them, and then they don't even have desire to fight for their life, which is a very unwise thing for people to do. So, at any rate, I told my wife that the Lord was going to take him, and the time of his departure was at hand. Same way with Mom. The Lord showed us Mother. And as I said, Brother Al going out having to do with the new order, because he had to do with Jesus in his body and Christ in his spirit, as we all do. But he has to a special significance at this time, like my brother Junior. And these things, a lot of times I don't relate too many of you, because it would be foolishness to you, because you're not spiritual and you don't have spiritual concept or perception. And it's better not to say things like that to you, because you'd only injure your soul as to the foolishness of your concept. But anyway, these few little things, Brother Al Gonzalez had to do with that change. And we were talking about the foundations, and we had a letter from Joseph Branham that we were referring to from time to time as to what Joseph was doing. So it indicated the finishing of the old order and the new order coming in, and it indicated the finishing of the harvest that Brother Branham had brought and the new harvest coming in. It so beautifully shows it and portrays it in Revelation, is down to every jot and tittle. So with that, about the time we was talking, Gracie come in, and when she came in, it had great significance. As a matter of fact, I see her coming in now. But it had great significance as she came in. And things that we were teaching on had great significance. As a matter of fact, we had been talking, I guess it was that morning, a fellow by the name of Ray, a new person, had come in, and Ray Chester, and it was quite a number of things that was taking place spiritually. I kept watching little things that as it happened, and these little things, of course, I related to the brethren, and of course, sometimes the brethren, they're watching too, and they see them. But these things were taking place, and I had asked Brother Atley, I don't know who it was, I'd asked him to help me as I hang up the two boards with the foundational teachings. Hung them up there at the door. Hung one on this side, one on this side of the door, which seemed to be a simple thing, a thing that really just insignificant, you know, and yet it was so highly significant. I hung them up there on the door, one on one side, one on the other side. Got Brother Atlee there to help me. And one of the little doors, on the little swing doors, one of the little doors is off, which also has significance. You know, we look at things and we think, you know, like Paul, they said, Paul said, you're crazy. He said, you've lost your mind. He said, much learning has made you mad. But anyway, Paul wasn't mad. Paul had received a revelation. God revealing himself in simplicity. And God hiding these things from the eyes of the wise and prudent, making them revelation unto babes such as will learn, as to people that have the spirit of revelation. Saying to you and I, pray that God will grant unto us the spirit of revelation. So all the little doors all sitting over there, and nobody noticed it, paid attention to it. But it was very highly significant. And I've had problems with the little swinging door. Seems like it always gets tore up and it winds up sitting in the corner. But I hung these up. I hung a chart up on one side and a chart on the other, just a little old white pasteboard that Chuck had worked with me to help make as to the foundations, the outlines. Whereas, didn't seem like much, didn't seem like nothing, just a little paperwork. But looking into heaven and looking into God's great world and looking at the great, mighty things of heaven that is so foolish to the earth, I looked and I saw the two stones of Moses. I saw them hanging there. One was to be broken as it has been broken continually. Nobody honors it. Nobody understands it. Nobody makes any real effort to understand it. So it is broken. The other one, which is not in the veil, but out of the veil, that is, it's not in codes and whatever. It's something that's very plain. You can look at it and see it. It had to do with the unbroken stone of the covenant. And I was just trying to talk a little bit to the different brethren. There wasn't too much need to try to tell some of them about that because they wouldn't have understood what I was saying anyway. But anyway, there they were, and very plain, very clearly seen in Revelation that that's what they were. And of course, on one of them that Chuck had kind of modified a little bit, brought up to date, we was teaching a little bit from an instructing, that is, a little bit from it as to what we're doing here in world evangelism. Had it under the little old projector, had it projected up on the wall there on the screen. The first part, the first divisional part of the foundation as to Division A, as to what it was, who was over it, what it meant, as to the significance, as to the aid, as to the meaning for world evangelism, as to good. Just kind of evaluating as to the good of those things that we have in paperwork and the need of paperwork. Now, I was explaining how that, speaking of the Bible, if we hadn't had paperwork, you and I wouldn't have been here. It's from the paperwork that we got here. It wasn't because Peter, James, and John came along. It was what they had written, it came along. Somebody got a hold of it, preached it, and because God had said to John, write, put it in a book, send it to the churches, we got a hold of the paperwork, and by faith, we came to God through salvation. Now, I was just trying to get them to see the importance of keeping records and why that we should take a little initiative to keep up with things to where our life could be a little more wholesome and less confusing. Well, anyway, about the time I was getting to the first part of it, Gracie came in and said I was dead. And of course, the Lord said to me as we went on, He said the first one broken as to that side, no one keeps it, no one tries to understand it, no one devotes any time to really trying to keep it. Paul said, you have the law and none of you keep it. It was the rules and regulations of little Bethlehem. But he said that one had to do with the deceased and with Brother Al and with Moses. He said, but the second one had to do with Grace when she came in. God gave the second stone to Joshua. He gave it by grace because his obligation as to Israel was already over. He had given them a commandment in that he brought them out of Egypt. He was obligated to give them leadership, and the leadership was broken. But when grace came in, that indicated the first folded up and laid away. And when grace came in, you can't break grace. Where sin doth abound, grace doth much more abound. So then according to the need, grace is given. And so then the second one was not broken. it's given by grace. That is to say, it was not in the veil. It was understood out of the veil. And that is the one that we have within our heart. Taking out the heart of stone, placing within us a heart of flesh, writing the laws of God upon the table of our heart, causing us to walk in his ways, or that is, the love of God constrains us. So the second one, grace. And many such like things, multiplied things that we could say concerning Brother Al Gonzalez, and as to what he has to do with, as to a change of world order, and as to what we can see in it. For Brother Al's going away has to do with a change of the entire world, and especially the church world. And of course, as we ministered this morning for about 2 hours, we were able to detail some of the things as to what his decease has to do with. And in that he is gone, as to the natural, it denotes the end of the Gentile age, the finishing of the Gentiles, and the coming in of the Jews. And if we were able to go into it as to the mind of Christ, the way we did this morning, if you had the patience, I could take the time, and the Lord would very carefully, slowly position every thought as he did this morning. But anyway, it has to do with what Brother JT said about something here being like the Ark of the Covenant, something to be revealed that had never been revealed before. As a matter of fact, Brother Carton was telling us of a night vision that he had. I can't remember exactly how it goes, but he said that the brethren, I guess it was the brethren or whoever it was, brethren or could have been me, the brethren, some of us, we were searching. I don't know whether with the Jews or with the church or how we was doing it. But we were searching for something, and it looked like that it couldn't be found, is the way I took it. But somehow in the midst of the brethren, he said, I came along with a light. Is that right? A light, Bill? I came along with a light and said that we were searching for the Ark of the Covenant. And when this light came along, he said that by the use of this light, said we found the Ark of the Covenant. Said we come to a cave, was it? And there was no way that we could find this Ark in this cave unless we had this light. And in the cave, we went into the cave with the light. And when we went into the cave with the light, then we found the Ark of the Covenant. So then the Ark of the Covenant, as JT said, something to be revealed, as it was with Brother Branham's cave, finding it, or the Ark of the Covenant, we've spoke on it, the ashes of the red heifer. At this time, the finding of the cave, or the finding of the Ark, was, I spoke to David Paul and some of them about what the Ark is, the discovery of the Ark being found at this time, that the church, who had been searching for a long time, at last will discover the Ark of the Covenant, the true Ark of the Covenant, from the little cave of their own human person. And in finding it, that it will conquer death. Wherever Israel went with the Ark of the Covenant, there was not one person that was lost in death. Not one, though they fought many battles and had many people. As long as they honored the Ark, there was not one soldier lost. So then, as I said to Brother Bill, I said, Bill, it has to do with us going to Israel. And when we go to Israel, as pertaining to this great light, this great revelational light, it indicates the days of the Gentiles being finished. And going to the Jews, having to do with that, that relates to Brother Curley and some of the other, it indicates the days of the Gentiles being over and the light moving from them, the light of the understanding of God going back to Israel. And when the light of the understanding strikes the mind of Israel, then Israel will discover the cave where Jeremiah hid the ark and where Moses departed as going to the Canaan land, as pertaining to Canaan. And they will find the ark. The understanding will come to them through the visitation. The last time, was it we went, next to the last time, I think it was, we went down the street of Dolorosa, prophesying that the time is fulfilled. And the book went all over Israel as to the sermon we preached, the time is fulfilled. And as it was said concerning the days of the Lord Jesus, it was said that in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. He sent forth his son to redeem them that was under the law. So the fullness of time, whereas this year, Brother Al having to do with the new order, this year, all of a sudden, the Pope comes in. For if the days of the Gentiles comes to an end, if the Jews get their eyes open, then that means that the papacy of Rome as to the healing of the deadly wound, he will correlate to bring all of the world together. For the Bible said, and all the world wondered after him. Having had the gospel preached to us down through these numbers of years, all of us as Protestant people, and then laying that aside, because one would love darkness rather than light, in that their deeds are evil. That is, they would love the intellectual way of darkness, the intellectual way of life, more than the spiritual enlightenment as to the eyes of understanding as pertaining to Christ. Then the Lord would be upset and he wouldn't spare any longer. And they brought me a couple of clippings today. One of the clippings was where the cardinal, what was his name? O'Connor. The cardinal was over in Israel confessing that he had made a mistake in slighting Israel. And another one of the Pope, his blessings, his New Year's Eve blessings, his mass blessing, as correlating all the world, expressed his feeling for all humanity and how he felt like, well, in so many words, it was his duty and our duty that we all come together to correlate the entire world, to bring them together. And, of course, I noticed Joseph's letter also stated that in his travel into Africa and the different places, Brother Joseph Branham said that he had noticed that man-made barriers were coming down. And as he visited with the bride and the rest of the world, he saw a great desire for union and the people wanting to come together. So it's like we had said X amount of months ago that the Lord would start bringing his people together. We had made that statement, the time was at hand. And this year marks the real strive as to world unity. And it's falling right on time, just exactly the way the Lord showed it. So Brother Al's going out had to do with the translation. And what can you say? If we had time to go into it and really detail it, you could see that it so beautifully fits into the rest of the pattern of revelation as to what is taking place. So a great, wonderful thing has transpired. Some, I don't know where it came from or how it came about, but some had said something about having Brother Al on tape sing the family of God at his own funeral, which is very unusual. But it would just be perfectly in line as to the family of God, as to the rapture, as to the resurrection. For who sings at their own funeral unless it's somebody that's come back to sing? So it would show what we said about what it had to do with Al, as to the conquering of death. We spoke of this before his decease, that that's what it was showing. So somebody had said, well, we need to sing the family of God, Brother Al's funeral. Then somebody said, well, who can sing it better than Al? So they decided they'd have Al to sing. And we had said that he had to do with the man-child, the redemption of the body, just before his body saw corruption as to the things that was happening to it. And Brother Al had a dream the night before, or night or two before, that he had received his healing, whereas, of course, he has. And like Brother Branham, just before his death, he had seen his healing, and Brother Branham received it through his death. So Brother Al, having to do with the man-child, it was so perfect, we had spoke about the man in Tekoa, the strong man that had to do with the man-child. And of course, the man gave his life to Christ. And when they went to get Brother Al's casket, being a big man, they had to have it specially made. And they tell me that the only place that could do that was Tekoa. So that they sent into that area, or either that's, at least that's what they said. So that again would fit perfectly as to him looking in that direction, the man child. And everything points to the catching away. So often we see things that pertain to the St. Mary's Hospital, as to the birth of the child, which also relates to the catching up. And Ron was telling me that all of a sudden his wife's birthday came, her name being Ruth. And Brother Gary was telling me his birthday is this coming Sunday, as to that, as to Armstrong and the moon, and as to the cake that the sister brought, Sister Wawana, back to Marysville again, brought the cake of the bride on that night. And as we prayed, I was standing there and I said, Lord, I believe with all of my heart that the bride hath made herself ready. Whereas that's what was wrote on the cake. And it was a bride on the cake. They had made a bride on the cake. And then, of course, all of a sudden, Gracie decides she wants to read about that thing that Cynthia had wrote, and that Cynthia followed the pattern of that of the bride. And all of a sudden, writing that, Gracie brought it forth to read it, and it pertained to the bride as to little Bethlehem. Cynthia wrote as to little Bethlehem. And as pertaining to these things, so many wonderful things that accompany our everyday walk in life, every person has significance. Sister Wawana also related to my wife that just prior to the bringing of this cake, that somebody by mistake had come to their house, apparently looking for his young girlfriend, or as pertaining to marriage of the bride, said it looked very strange because he had mistaken the house, or he had got the wrong house, mistaken the thing as to which house, and had come to their home. And I believe the home he was looking for was between Brother Johnny, maybe, and between their home, as pertaining to the law and whatever. we say a rent veil, or as to marriageable, as to the birth. And Brother Raymond and them had seen this individual standing there in a white tuxedo just before they had brought the cake over, or about that time. So that seemed real strange, you know, and they were kind of puzzled over it. But they brought the cake, and then, of course, as I said, one thing led to another, and it was a continual happening, even to the little thing that seems so strange about the duck. I spoke about the duck, and the Lord had impressed me concerning it. And Brother Tony had given me a belt buckle. I started to put it on, and I didn't put it on. So the following day, as it was, something said, put the buckle on. I was looking for a buckle. I'd given my buckle away to Michael, and I'd taken Michael's buckle. The one I'd given had a couple of Indian heads on it with horseshoes on it that Brother Steve had given me out of Texas that related to the new land and a lot we could say about it. As to the crossing of the Jordan, and Mike was admiring it, so I gave it to him. I took Mike's buckle, which had great significance as to the war in heaven at this time. So I took that buckle, whereas Brother Michael, Brother Gary Armstrong, they were searching for the sign of the Son of Man, which is a tape that we had preached concerning Brother Branham and concerning the hour in which we was living numbers of years ago, maybe over in the Carolinas, maybe up in Hendersonville at Brother Woodruff's place, I'm not sure. But anyway, we preached this sign of the Son of Man. Somebody had recorded it, and Brother Fred Tongs, a lawyer there, married to Sister Betty Burke, before she married the sister to the Burke Society. You remember it came up from the boy that had been in China. What was his name? I can't remember. Anyway, it was his sister. What was his name? John Birch. So, Brother Fred, they were friends of ours before Betty died, and still are, as far as I know, that is Fred is. But he had gotten a hold of this, and Brother Mike had sent for it, or seen Brother Tom's. He said he'd give it to him. He sent it by Brother Thomas Carnes. And Brother Mike was a little bit disturbed because Thomas had misplaced it or something had happened to it. So war started, you know, because Mike wants what's his. And he didn't get it from Tom. And I think they kind of went round and round, and then he went to Brother Ernie, whereas I had told some of them it really had to do with Brother Ernie, the retrieving of it. And, of course, today I found out that my wife had been talking to Sister Dorothy. And when nobody else seems to be able to do anything with Dorothy, Betty has been able to do that. And Sister Dorothy, of course, was leaning heavily in this direction after talking with Betty. And Brother Ernie, he would like to come back. He came to visit with us not too long ago. You remember what happened? I believe I gave him a belt buckle, and those things are highly significant as to being typical. You know, the Bible speaks of God being the buckler and the shield. So having the loins girt about with the truth, it had significance. So as pertaining to the sign of the Son of Man, it was very strange that Brother Michael would start searching for the sign of the Son of Man, and of course having the little riffraff, as we say, as to finding it. But he's determined that he's going to find it. And he's looking for it. And as I read to you in the book of Daniel, these things, of course, foolishness to many of you. You'd never understand. You'd never put it together. It's just a passing thing. Something for Brother Pike to say so that you can take a little interest. Something I can use to fill in with. But nevertheless, as pertaining to these things, Brother Mike's determined he's going to find that. And the brother that he went to, Brother Ernie, we've used the terms a lot of times as to the earnestness of the inheritance. going to Brother Ernie, he was searching for it. He's got Brother Ernie searching for the sign of the Son of Man. It's pertaining to the Jews, the coming in. Brother Bill's vision as to the time fulfilled. Ernie is searching. He knows he's got it among his Brother Branham tapes somewhere, because he's got all kind of Brother Branham tape. Whereas Tom has many, many, many tapes that we preached, and also many, many tapes of Brother Branham. And Brother Michael had to do with that thing of the rent veil there, so the separation as to distinguishing as to which was at this time and which was not, and as to which was in the past. So with this, it is the war in heaven as to Brother Michael and Brother Armstrong. This is the catching up. And as to the casting out of the red dragon, as to the serpent seed teaching of Brother Branham, it is the overcoming of the serpent and the serpent seed to cast it out. War in heaven, Revelation 12. And with this appears the sign of the Son of Man. Little Josias, who was down there in the basement, which has great significance. All of a sudden when I said that struck a man looking into the heavenly places. I see it where it struck his spirit real hard, and he was receiving everything I said, but he determined he wasn't going to receive that. Really, it's not like that. He will receive it. He just got hung up there a little on a snag until we go a little farther. But anyway, going on along, we were sitting there in the basement, and while we were sitting there in the basement, little Josiah, he comes and he climbed up in my lap, and being peaceful like, he went off to sleep. Well, Brother Philip, he came over from Mississippi, came with a Brother John Carver. You remember this? You remember the black man Carver? It had real significance. But while we were there talking, all of a sudden, little Josiah, he comes and he gets up at my lap. Well, there's been some things that have transpired in the teachings of these things concerning these two things hanging up as to the stone, the broken stone, and the stone that was not broken. They had brought me, little Brother Randy had brought me a rod of iron. I mean, it was a heavy rod of iron, too. And he was going to let me use it for a pointer. And then Brother Taylor had brought me a golden candle. And I was watching some things there. That was in the morning following, but there were some things that had taken place while little Joe was there before him. It was really significant. We can't remember to bring all these out, but anyway, I brought them out to the brethren, and it was a night maybe before that or a night or two before that. I looked, and when I looked, three men walked up with beards. We were all were sitting here talking. And they walked up, and they began to fellowship, and they were standing over here. And I heard the Lord speak to me. I heard something say, Moses, Elijah, and Jesus. And I turned and looked, and they were in a huddle together. And sure enough, there was little brother Lambert in the middle of them. And here was Mickey on this side and Dale on this side, cartridge as to the little book. You know, as to the opening, as to the rending, as to the ark, as to the revealing, and many things we could say about that. But anyway, there they stood, and I saw what the Lord was telling me. Because we'd been talking about some things that if we went into them, it would just make it perfect for you to understand what we were saying and what the Lord was doing. So this particular time, little Joe, he climbed up into my lap, and all of a sudden, the Lord began to move, and all the brethren got around Philip. He wanted prayer. And when we got around Philip to pray, we joined hands, and Philip humbled his heart and fell down on his knees there. Well, Philip is like a little babe in the gospel. And he had come over, and when we circled and all of us got around and began to pray, we got around him, began to hold hands. It had to do with the catching up of the man child. Philip had not yet got his eyes open to these things. Though John had got his eyes open and Steve had got his eyes open, Philip had never got his eyes open. We'd talked with him and he had seen, you know, what we was trying to do for the gospel. But while we was praying, the Spirit of the Lord came upon me to prophesy, and I couldn't quite, it kept coming and going, and the brother that had come with him from Mississippi, it was causing a little block, and I couldn't get past the Spirit because he had the brother's attention, that is Philip's attention. So while I was praying, I looked, and I saw like, it was like black streaks that kept going around his head like this, around Philip's head, just striking just like that. And then I saw as it was somebody trying to slip a dark veil over his head. They kept trying to slip a dark veil, and he was wrestling and struggling with all of his might, and he was so depressed. And then as this continued on, finally I saw him went out over this. And then somebody came and put a cap on his head. And I looked at it and I thought, oh my, that looks like a painter's cap. And he looked very pleasant. He grinned like just a real, real inspirational look came over his face like he was aglow. And then as things went on, finally we stopped praying. And Philip, you could tell he'd won a great victory. So Philip, he goes over, he sits down, and when he sits down, I was telling him what had taken place and what I saw, what I understood. So he goes over, he sits down, and all of a sudden, Brother Willie come in with a cap and put it on his head. It was a paint cap, and it was just right for the thing that Willie Fowler, as to Brother Branham, or they called him Willie, and as to Brother Carver that had come over. As we use the terms, you remember Washington representing the truth. We spoke about that, the cherry tree, whatever. Anyway, he put the cap on his head, and I looked, and when I did, Philip was all lit up, just aglow, just as accurately like I'd seen him with that cap on. And that cap was just as accurately like I had seen, as the best I could detail it. And on the front of it, it had a world with paint pouring down over it like the blood of Jesus covering the world. And it was a Sharon Williams cap. It was just perfect for Brother Branham, the catching up, the resurrection of the body, as to what Brother Al had to do with. So it was just perfect. And the Lord made me to know that all them things that was going around him like that was thoughts striking in his mind, demons through his natural thoughts of the intellectual darkness. And that veil was his intellectual reasoning that was trying to swallow him up. People talking to him and trying to program his mind and swallow him up. And that he had overcome that veil of death, which indicated the resurrection. Of course, he's testified to that. He said, Brother Pike, it's exactly that way. And he said that he had overcome it. So, you know, we say, well, I don't believe it. Well, if you know, if it's a lie, he's the one to talk. But anyway, that's the way it was. He said it's exactly that way. So in this, little Josias was sitting there, see, at the catching up. And this had to do with the end of that thing as to the serpent seed. Because, like I said, the turning point of the ministry, the old harvest being gone, and the new order coming in is to the new harvest. And Josias, it was in his times, remember, that had a problem with that old thing called the pole of the serpent that had been lifted up to represent Christ Jesus, as to looking in that direction to find freedom. And the Lord had used the serpent because Jesus had been made in the sin image of the serpent. He'd been made in the image of sin. John said a generation of vipers. And he had been made in the image of sin. And so then in this, he was to be smitten. When he was smitten, that meant that it would be the end of sin, or the end of the serpent, and life would be free. Now, a lot of things I'd like to say, I don't know where I'll ever get to say them to you, not many hundreds of thousands of things that God has given us of the revelation of the Son of God. Paul said it's to the much revelation. Many things I've said to you, many things I've not said to you. Some things perhaps I'll say, some I'll perhaps never get to say, not even to my own companion, though I would love to. But anyway, the smiting of the serpent. Well, they had made that thing an idol. After the departure of Moses, after it had served its purpose, the old Catholic system, you know, of making something a saint or making something, you know, the old Babylonian way of life. And like I said, I don't speak against the Catholic people because there's some lovely people. Even Brother Al was converted from a Catholic church. Brother Beretta from a Catholic church and some of the others, Brother Tony from a Catholic church. And all of you principally came through Martin Luther from a Catholic church. So the Catholic Church had to do with life going through the serpent to get to the Protestant age. Whereas from the fall in the garden as to the sin of Adam, life, natural life, had to come through the serpent from Adam all the way down to Calvary before it could leave the serpent or the serpentine course to get on this side of Calvary to where God could reproduce as to the born-again person, as to life, eternal life, as to life preserved. So it had come down through there. John laid the axe to the root of the tree, cut the tree down as of the tree of knowledge, bringing forth the tree of life, upon which Jesus sang as to the representation, that is, the tree of death. When John cut it down, Calvary going down, as to the serpent, Jesus, hanging on the pole. And then the tree of life, as to that that came out of the veil, Christ saying, if they do this in a green tree. So, coming through that, it ended the serpent way of life, that today there is a new life, not the old serpent life, as to human passions, as to that side of life, as to the bloodstream of the life being in the blood, but the quickening spirit, as to the new birth, as to the firstborn, even the Lord Jesus Christ, to the regeneration, as the washing of the water of the word, of the regeneration, as to the new side of life. So then Brother Branham represented that was smitten, and that went down as to the crash, the head, the broken bones, as to say, to show the image of sin. Brother Branham showed the image of sin. Whereas people said, Jesus. Brother Branham is Jesus. He's God. Then when the crash came, the bones were broken, which was the testimony that it couldn't be Jesus, for it said, not a bone of his body shall be broken, as to the prophecy. So it showed that it, even though he did represent Jesus, it showed that the real Jesus, as to the Christ, was the inner man of Brother Branham, as to the Lord from glory, as to the message that was coming out of the body. So, as to Josiah showing the overthrowing of the serpent seed teaching. The serpent seed teaching is an infiltration of evil that has gotten into the Brother Branham message as to the worm in the bread. Brother Branham's teachings brought it as to a symbol, as in Moses' day, as to a usage, as to show what God was doing. But the Brother Branham following that was not sincere, they picked it up as to lust, to magnify, and to put the worms in the bread, as to trying to hold over the manna and use the message instead of going on to the new thing, as Brother Branham had taught it, or as the Christ on the inside had taught them, the manner that had been given in the wilderness wandering of those people, then they had held the manner back and the worm has gotten into the bread. So it got to be a serpent seed teaching, and that's what Brother Michael and Brother Gary and the others was, the war in heaven is to cast out that old infiltration, to get out the old dirty mind of filth and to bring into this age the new godly teaching that doesn't have to go through the serpent. It's a new life. It's a new way of life. It's a new order. Brother Al indicated the finishing of that. And of course, Brother Philip indicated the finishing of it. Little Josiah sitting in my lap had to do with that and the cap that came. Little Josias, as Philip had been with the Brother Branham teaching, then when Philip's eyes got open, it indicated that part was gone. But little Josias had overthrown that of the serpent, of that they were using in that day, to bring an end to it. And this, of course, is why that we speak of the decease of Brother Al, as to the change, as to the redemption of the body before his body saw corruption by the uremic poison. And some of you that are big enough to understand and clean enough in your mind to understand knows what I mean when I say Brother Al and the overthrowing as to the uremic poison, as to the death, as to what we're saying, as to which that pertains. Maybe you don't. Well, anyway, we'll go on from there. So that had to do with the end of it, and of course, a new day, a new life, a new order, and many, many multiplied things that we could say. With the elimination of the serpent at Calvary through the death of Jesus, then it indicated that the Brother Branham message, which was Christ, as to the beginning, rather than an old order, was now in its new form as to the resurrection, coming in as the bread on the other side as to Christ, not as to the image of sin, as to the serpent, as to the image of your first birth through Adam, because when you're born into this world, you're born into the image of sin and you're born into the image of the serpent. And unless you're born again, you're called a generation of vipers. And the axe laid to the root of the tree ended it all at Calvary. And someday you'll have to pay for it, because he said there it was finished and the serpent was overthrown. The serpent being overthrown meant that Peter, as to Peter, crucified upside down, Paul blaming him to his face, it meant that Peter, representing the fallen image of Jesus, which had been smitten by the Christ, that is to say, Paul smiting Peter, blaming Peter to his face because he was to be blamed, indicated that he went out of the lofty position, in that the Jews went out of the presence of God, the Bible said the gospel being to Peter to the Jews, as the gospel to Paul to the Gentiles. Peter went out of the presence of God, that is to say, get thee behind me, Satan, as Jesus spoke. The expulsion, it showed Peter as to being rejected, and saying, thou savest the things that be of the world. So out he went, being ousted. In that when Paul blamed him, he said, I blame Peter to his face because he was to be blamed. That is to say, I blame Peter because Peter went back with the Jews to the fallen one, to the serpent side of it. And in the falling, as Revelation 6, chapter 6, seal, in the falling as to the fig tree shaking her untimely figs, Peter went out with the Jews, and he become the first pope, the first papacy, as they say. So it indicates the serpent, or the casting out of Lucifer, and he was now in the earth. Woe unto them that are in the earth, the inhabitants of the earth, for he is among you. And so he went out, and the serpent started as to the papacy, or the old Babylonian system, and reached way over here to our day, still having the crown, the old Babylonian way, the becoming mystery Babylon. And of course we brought this out as to the Medes, the Persians, Attalus fleeing from Babylon, and as to the dates of 975, 721, these kind of things, as to Attalus fleeing from the old Babylonian order, going over into Pergamos, or that is bequeathing his rights of priesthood over to Julius Caesar, coming on over about 30 BC and Rome coming into power. And then from that, setting up the operation over in Pergamos. And in the church ages, it's referred to as Pergamos, the seat of Satan. And then from that, we brought it out how that the Etruscans, history records it, as to the Etruscans coming down from Pergamos, coming down and bringing this teaching down into Rome, And then we brought out how that Rome is an establishment from, I never can think of their name, Remulus and, what is it? Romulus and Remus. The two people that was raised up by the wolf. Lost off from their mother, and the wolf raised them up like cubs. And of course, the establishment of Rome coming from that. But speaking of this, speaking of the Etruscans coming down and the Julius Caesar thing and then how that in 325 AD, the whole thing was changed at the nice meeting there that had to do with Germany. And coming on down to the chains, here they instigated the Trinitarian way of life as is recorded in our history at libraries today, not being able to interpret. And then Constantine's mother coming in to religion caused it to get into the hierarchy place and into the place of kingship. And then the whole thing was changed around, and then come the golden altars and all the fabulous things that they put there for the altar as to the priesthood and the offering up of the things of God going on until today. But you remember how that we said that come to an end, that the crown having still been with them, it come out of Babylon to the extent they were supposed to give it to Jesus. The restoration, we brought it out in Daniel's prophecy, but they didn't give it to Jesus. They gave him a crown of thorns. So then it went on as to we say, Peter, a stone, the little stone hewed out that had to do with the very thing that will testify against Rome. Or that is to say, the stone that was rejected. And Peter also, his name being Little Stone or meaning Little Stone, had a great, great spiritual significance as to the smiting of the head of the serpent. And in that, the priest came from Italy, came here, and at the very time that we had to make a beating, the very time that this thing was coming to a headship, the different ones coming, Curly, then the bequeathing came again as the priesthood when he fell down before us on his knees after many years as a learned man that was 10 times the ability I have as to a natural man. He wanted to ordain me a priest, and he wanted to take me to some of their meetings, and even over in Canada where he could take me into a place to ordain me a priest. When I didn't go with him, he finally one night when no one was around, we'd been talking there in the kitchen, and it got the best of him, and he fell down on his knees, and he was tore all to pieces, and he said, Brother Pike, he said, nobody don't have to ordain your priest. God has already ordained your priest. So as to the bequeathing of it, it indicated that the crown was again making its transitional change. And sure enough, the Pope of Rome got rid of the crown, which meant the end of the transition had taken place as to the earthly transition, and now it had become an heavenly order to bring in what we're talking about now and what we're doing now. Brother Branham also had to do with this as to the old order going out of Catholicism, because his dad was Catholic. He was from a Catholic family, and he always wore that little golden cross around his neck. So that had to do with that change. So we see that with this, it was the Christ within Brother Branham, as it was in Jesus, that Christ or that image or that covering of the Shekinah, which we could go on and on and on with these things, you know, through the revelation. Great is the mystery of godliness. So coming from Adam, having lost it in the garden, down through the serpent, coming all the way to Calvary, then now it was at an end. Brother Branham's death showed it over here in our day as to a thing where it was repeating itself. And with that, then the Christ inside of Brother Branham went on to finish the ministry. and finished the third pull, as Brother Branham called it. So there was, as we would say, a first pull that was healing. And that first pull was a great thing as to healing. Then it was said there was to be another move of God as to the second pull, which had to do with Brother David Terrell. We spoke of it as to the breach over, caught between the man and woman preaching sort of thing. In the breach over, Brother Terrell brought in the second pull of it as to the prophecy. And people began to prophesy all over the country. Everywhere people was prophesying. Brother Terrell was prophesying. Sometimes for hours he prophesied. And then the last part of it was to be, as Brother Branham had said, the third pull, the unveiling of the mysteries of Christ, which had to do with Revelation 10 and 7, the sounding of the last trump. Revelation 11, 15, as to when it did sound, which was in the end of the world. At that time, the kingdoms of this world had become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ, and had to do with the end time coming in, as to the man-child being caught up to the throne in the middle of the week. And Daniel, you'll read that this thing reaches over to the middle of the week. You'll say, well, why do you call that the middle of the week? Well, in Daniel, if you'll read, it speaks of the 3,290 days. Blessed is he that cometh to the 2,335 days. Or the 1,335 days it is. The 1,290 days. So it speaks of that. It comes over to that. And it has to do with the middle of the week. If you'll figure it up, he'll come down to the middle of the week. And then I read to you in Daniel's of the times, time and half a time. And in Daniel, how it says, and Michael in that day shall stand for his people. So this is why the typical thing is happening of searching for the sign of the Son of Man. Ernie is searching for the sign of the Son of Man, which means we're getting close to that last week now. At the beginning of the last week, when the days of the Gentiles is over, then comes the searching for the sign of the Son of Man, because it is in Revelation 6, as to the sixth seal, that all of a sudden it appears in heaven, the sign of the Son of Man. And the Bible said, when the sign of the Son of Man appears in heaven, then all of the tribes of the earth shall mourn. And with that, they'll cry for the rocks and mountains. They'll run to the caves. And with the sign of the Son of Man, the seal of the Jews come as to the 144,000, that is to say, Brother Branham's following, that is to say, Brother Ernie, that is to say a lot of things that we have to say about Ohio and Brother Taylor and the Seven Hills and all these kind of things. But anyway, as to the sign of the Son of Man at that time, see, something happens. At the beginning of the week, Moses comes on the scene, and Elijah comes on the scene. And when they come on the scene, just as quick as Moses comes on the scene, it indicates the re-establishment of the government of Israel. Today they don't have any government. They won't take any form of government because they're waiting for their Messiah, and their Messiah, of course, is Moses, as to the natural. We know God was with Moses. Moses was made God to Aaron. Jesus, we don't know whether God was with you or not. But anyway, as to the Messiah, as to Christ in Moses, as within the veil, Moses comes, and when Moses comes, then they accept their form of government in that they find the ashes of the red heifer. And Moses knows where the ark, those kind of things, are. That is to say like this. As to the end of Moses' regime in that day, going down to Babylon, that ended the Judah regime as to the crown, going down to Babylon to the Gentiles, and then all of a sudden that ended Moses' way of life. See, Moses' way of life was no more. It was the Babylonian way of life of the Gentiles coming in, which was established by Calvary. And then when that's ended, all of a sudden, the papacy being ended, that ends it, because it starts with Peter. And the confirmation of it. And then all of a sudden Moses comes. When Moses comes, then their government is back. Moses starts again. That last week of Daniel, it's again the law. So it starts back. When that starts back, then that means that he knows where the cave is. He knows where the Ark of the Covenant is. He knows where the table of incense and all of the furniture of the tabernacle is. And when Moses comes back, they start that all over again, because Moses is the tabernacle that was in the wilderness. And when he comes back, they'll erect the tabernacle, because he was the tabernacle in which the high priest was. That is to say, Aaron was a type of it in the tabernacle down here, but Moses seeing the heavenly things, and God said, make all things after the order of the heavenly things. Then here was God in Moses on the mountain in the earthly tabernacle. Jesus the prophet likened to Moses, which meant God in Jesus. So then when we look at these things, we understand that we're nearing the first of the week now. All the revelation, all the things that's shown us, shows that we're coming right up down to that first, the last week, the first part of that last week. First of the week. So the coming of the sign of the Son of Man. Searching for the sign of the Son of Man. For the Bible said, and the sign of the Son of Man shall appear in heaven, and all the tribes of the earth shall mourn. All of a sudden it will appear. And they'll say, where did you get your nails? And he'll say, in the house of my friends. Who was it that crucified you? He said, my friends did that. As it was with Judas, he said, friend. And Judas said, put the nails in. So in the house of my friends, he said, I got the nails. So this is what I mean by Brother Al. He's laying up there, lying in state now, as far as I know. And as to the body from Tekoa, or having to do with Tekoa, the great strong man, the great champion, the great world champion, as to the man child being 17 pounds when he was born into the world, as to, we say, like the body of the spirit, as to a double potion of life, and the redemption of the life before the uremic poison could bring death, and yet a symbol of death as to the poison striking the heart, as one would say, as to bring death, as to a heart attack, and really his was from weakness. So becoming a curse that we might not be a curse, becoming that in death that we might have life. These things and many multiplied things have to do with Al's departure, as to the government, the status of the government, as to the deadly wound, as to Antichrist, as us going into Israel, folding up of the law, the discovering of the Ark of the Covenant, and the change, the great new world order, as to Brother Branham's ministry being completed, and now Joseph is in power. So this, of course, has to do with the fact that many people come around and say, Brother Pike, I don't know where to go. I just ain't no place to go. We can't find no place. Can't find nobody teaching the right thing. And it indicates the famine and the old harvest being gone, as to from Egypt, great signs and wonders over across the wilderness. They're dying in the wilderness of the Arizona desert in between the east and the west. Sunset Mountain and Brother Green there, the Tabernacle of Tucson, as to the twins and the many things that we've said about Tucson, about Brother Allen, Brother Branham, and many, many hundreds of things that we spoke of, or that the Lord has revealed. So in this, it indicates great signs and wonders coming out of Egypt, the application of the blood, and now the transitional change of the crossing of the Jordan, as to them breaking the covenant of Brother Branham, the quotes, just continual quotes, and they had Brother Branham's message, and none of them don't keep it. They break it. Paul said, you've got it. None of you keep it. They do everything but walk in holiness. Even their own family playing ball and ball games and all kind of things. They don't keep it. So then it comes over to the unveiled, as to the revelational grace of God that cannot be broken, in that we are children of God, and we've come over the Jordan, as with Joshua, which means the carnal mind has nothing to do with it. Death is behind us. We're over the Jordan, and we are in the spiritual world, having received our new harvest, and in that we've already crossed death across Jordan. There's no such thing as breaking it and dying, because death is under the law of the old covenant. So this is where we're at. God has brought us over. God has blessed us. And though you may not be able to see it, you cannot receive anything except it be given you of God. You may not be able to see it. You may not understand that the Gentile age is at an end. That Brother Branham's ministry had to do with bringing it to an end. And you may not be able to see that. And that the following up of the revealed mysteries has to do with the church and its age as to conquest and victory in Canaan. That is to say, the other night, when the men's meeting was dismissed, though I sent word, or I wanted them to wait until I come back, we had had a thing take place here. I spoke of it, the catching up, the little commander going up to the Carolinas. After the meeting there, we went into Shoney's. We had about 7 minutes to get in, and they were closing the doors. And we brought this out to the Brotherhood as to the significance of it, Shoney the big boy. And again, about the man-child and our people, it's about several different kinds of folks in there. One that represented the Jews, it had to do with our people. One that represented the church, and the others represented the Gentiles. And as we went in, then gradually the center folks went out, until there was not very many in there when we went in, and all of them went out. Nobody there but the spirit and the body, as we say, the Jew and the church. Then the door was locked about 7 minutes. And there was a number of people that was turned away. These people that was turned away, they had to go their way while we were closed in. And in this, it showed the rapture, the catching away. We spoke of the midnight cry of New Year's Eve, and what this had to do with it. Shown as it's going over toward the midnight. And we stayed there at the Howard Johnson, and then we caught out the next day coming home, which had to do with a great thing. So then there it shown as everything was well in order. I could tell you a lot of things that happened as to when Brother David come over and kind of squatted down there close to me, talking to me, Brother David Young, and what it had to do with it. Brother David Paul pulling up between those two patrol cars on the outside and then going inside, and here was the law sitting around in here. And as they gradually went out, well, it had to do with a great thing. So we come back. When we come back, I had to take Danny back over here to that home, the correctional center. And I'd asked the brethren, or sent word. David Paul went out there and said, "Will y'all wait till we come back?" Well, instead of waiting, they closed out. They closed out around 8 o'clock or something. It hardly really got started, because I think it was just a few minutes after 8 when I got back. Well, they didn't realize that when they did that, that it indicated the Moses closing out, and that it denoted the end of the world and the end of time, as Brother Taylor was keeping the minutes, as we say. And in the closing out, as to that kind of thing, we came in, we had another men's meeting. I said, "Well, folks, we'll just have to have another men's meeting." So we had another men's meeting with the few people that we had. And at that, Brother Richard Gills brought in a picture of a lion and a lamb. And then Brother Steve from Texas brought in a picture of a lion and a lamb. And they were together. It showed the peaceful millennium coming in. Our return up there, from up there, had to do with the millennium. And those that was in the second meeting had to do not with the closing out of the time and of the minutes. We didn't keep any minutes. It was as to those that went into his rest or entered into his rest or into the age of Canaan as to the millennium where the lamb and the lion lays down together. In this, the second meeting had to do with the change. And this, of course, is what we were speaking of the other day when we said something to the brethren about the change and about entering into the millennium rest. That meant a great thing. Now, someone would say, well, what do you mean, Brother Pike? We've heard all of this year after year and day after day, and here we are just like we always was. Well, did you expect to be something different, more than a human being, you know, after hearing all of it? Seems like that's the reasonable thing to be since you was a human being to start with. But anyway, someone was, well, I expected me to do something, you know. Well, I hope you have done something. I'm sure some of you have. It has nothing to do with your outer person. Something has happened to the inner man, and the inner man has been translated into the kingdom of God, and the inner man is the bride of Christ, hath made himself ready, and those that were with me in spirit, they've gone into the ark, and they're closed in, and they're sealed in now. And all the others with resentment and jealousy and fault-finding and the love of the world and the things of the world are sealed out. That's what the millennium thing had to do with. They are sealed out. All of the fault finders are sealed out. Because, like Paul said, absent in body, I am with you in spirit, and here we are. Many of you have been present in body, but not with God in spirit. Saying, let the church hear what the Spirit hath to say unto the churches, if you have an ear. So them that were with me and are with me as with Christ, the innermost, they have been sealed in with me, and the others have been sealed out. And in that they have been sealed out, the sealing out indicates the end of the days of the body as to the Gentiles, and the fault finders as to the mumbling and grumbling against Moses, the minister, or being swallowed up by the earth, while those that love the Lord as spiritual beings has gone in, and they've been one with us in spirit, and they've been sealed in, which means the church is sealed in, and the wrath of God can come. And it will come. And this year is it. And this year shows the coming of those things to the extent that the papacy of Rome is coming in, correlating the people, having to do with, as we said, five are fallen, John, one is, and that is in his day, one was ruling, and one is yet to come. He shall continue a short space as it was. One did come, and somebody poisoned him. He continued just a short space, and then the eighth shall be on the seven, and with the eighth, the Bible said, and a deadly wound, and one was wounded to death, and the deadly wound was healed, as they called that of the Pope. A deadly wound, it was healed. We said it would be healed. It was healed, and all of the world wondered after the beast. That is, after the head of that beast. Never anybody like this Pope that we got now. All of the world is wondering after him. All of the world. He's going into all the world now. And all of the world's wondering after him. All the Protestants is going to wonder after him. All the Catholics is going to wonder. The Mohammedans, all of them is going to wonder after him. So see, this year, as to 87, and while this is happening, the great jubilee, as to, I believe it's the 40th jubilee, is it, of the Jews. They have their great jubilee as to this year. And as I said, as to our going over, like when we went over the third time, we didn't finish the third time because Danny got sick, which meant the third one was not finished. So as it was said of Jesus, unfinished, I go to prepare a place, and then I come again to receive you unto my own. That is to this time, those to go with me as to the place I prepared, as to having the palace in the Holy Land. To I go to prepare a place, a mansion, as to coming back and regathering or to take over as to finish the third thing that was unfinished, as to the seeking of the sign of the Son of Man. So in this, everything is shaping up just perfectly in order for what we understand, that we're coming on down now to the first part of the last week of Daniel, and the church being sealed in and the others being sealed out. So see, something did happen. Now, maybe you didn't see. Having eyes, you saw not. Having ears, you didn't hear. But nevertheless, as Brother Branham said, it moved right through you, and you never see it, right through the church. It's been moving right through. Brother Ray, it's just moving right on through the church, and the different ones not seeing it, because this was to be a different thing. Now, if we'd have come with mighty signs and wonders and all these other things, all the world would have seen it, because that was the coming out of Egypt. But it's the same Christ. It's the same thing. It's the same great God. In John, it was that same great, mighty God. He did no signs whatsoever. Though we pray for the sick and though all these things, we've been blessed with these things, but it wasn't to follow that. Our ministry wasn't to follow after that. You've got ministers like that everywhere. They're setting up tents and all those things. And we do pray for the sick under the tent. And God has given us good results. In the foreign fields, we do those things. But we have majored not upon the minors as to the natural and to the significance, but as to the heavenly, as to the translation and transformation that will bring the ultimatum of the transfiguration of the body. God coming as a thief in the night of your intellectual reasoning to steal the jewels of the inner man out of your midst, to seal them in and to take them away so that the world would never see it and the world would never get it, that it would be sealed in, and then at the last minute to bring forth the proof of it, to let you see, to say, oh my God, oh my God. But anyway, this is the way that it works. So he leaves it up to you as to a sovereignty, and of course you don't believe. You don't believe. You don't believe. At the last moment you get scared, but you don't believe. So you think, well, it's been a good thing. It's been a fine thing. I think it's been a great thing, and I like what was said, but really you didn't see, and you didn't hear, and you really didn't believe. And then, of course, all of the world, you know, the Bible said signs and wonders and a sinful and an adulterous generation has to see to believe. Signs and wonders. The Jews said, show us a sign as to the body. And Greeks going after knowledge. Knowledge, but the church being caught up in the revelation. Not going after the knowledge, not going after signs and wonders. We believe to see, but having Christ, the greatest wonder of all on the inside of our heart, to heal for us, to save for us, to work the Spirit, or that is the gifts, one Spirit, many operations, to work the gifts and to do the mighty, wonderful things of God in our life, and to bring us to the ultimatum as to His bride. That is Christ within you, the hope of glory, bringing this body to Himself as to your inner man, the Christ, the Lord from heaven, that He might marry the body, subdue the body, bring the body to His own likeness, His own glory, as to the lovely change of this body, as to the ultimate in Christ, as to eternal life being made manifest, not as to receiving eternal life. We've already received it, but as to having passed from death unto life, to change the outer man or the outer body. And that same Christ that was in John, that was in Paul, that was in Brother Branham, the same Christ 20 years or more later, still here with us and in the midst of us, bringing us right on down to the finish line as to this wonderful thing, as to what Brother Branham called the third pull. So you can see how close we are. If these things that I'm saying is right, you can see how close we are. Right down to the beginning of the last week of Daniel. And right down to what we call the tribulation. And coming right on down to what we speak of as the coming of the two prophets. As Moses, the ashes of the red heifer. The reestablishing of the Sanhedrin. And the bringing in of the purifying of the bodily priest of the earth, as Hebrews says, as to the purifying of the flesh, so that the tabernacle can be discovered, the Ark of the Covenant can be found, and Israel can come in, and of course that means the Gentiles like that. They're gone out. So then if we go to Israel, before we can go to Israel, that means that the church has to be sealed in as to the revelation of this hour. And, of course, the church is sealed in. And if the church is sealed in, then that means the end of the days of the Gentiles. And if the end of the days of the Gentiles, then to go to the Jews, as to the brother's vision of the light, as to the discovering of the tabernacle, because through this light, it tells exactly where the tabernacle is at, both naturally and spiritually, and it tells what the tabernacle of Moses really is and how to discover it, and it reveals very thoroughly as to the tabernacle of Moses. And I can see that some of those things went over your head. Some of you don't know what I'm saying, but nevertheless, that's the way it is. And like Jesus said, my words are spirit and life. So I'm going to leave this with you right there, brethren, as to what few things I've said, hoping that you can understand as to this funeral that we're having of Brother Al Gonzalez, and you can understand what this thing has to do with, and that you can start trying to do whatever there's left to be done as to reconciliation, because there is a tribulation. There is a tribulation, and there is a catching away. And that sealing of the catching away has to do with the coming of the Lord as to the sign of the Son of Man. I made a statement the other night. I preached a message, and I made a statement. I said, the secret of the rapture is in that message, or the translation is in that message. Some of you, I'm sure you don't understand what I'm saying. Some of you perhaps do. But I'm just saying this, that it is a true fact that something has taken place. Something great, something phenomenal, something mighty, and what can you say? Those to whom it was given received it, those that it was not given to did not receive it, and the others were blinded. The elect received it. Let me read right here in the book of Revelation, chapter 4. After this, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Okay, now, I just want to say a word or two, and I'm going to close. It says here in the book of Revelation, the first chapter, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Any time the revelation comes, it is the translation. When Paul got it, he went into the third heaven. When John got it, he went up into heaven. And wherever it comes, it is the catching away. That's why that this door was open in heaven. We say, where did John go? It makes it very clearly, and immediately I was in the Spirit. And behold, a throne was set in heaven. It didn't say immediately I was in heaven, that the Spirit took me up to heaven. It said immediately I was in the Spirit, and a throne was set in the Spirit in heaven, because there is no such thing as another world, another place, as the way that we think of it intellectually. God only allowed that we might have an intellectual comprehension, because we think in natural terms. But heaven is the Spirit. God is, God was, before there was ever a natural thing made, God, the eternal Spirit, was, and he is. You can't say existent, because what we term as being existent is these things that we tangibly deal with. So when we say something that we understand, we say verbal inspiration or quickening of the natural. So then when we do this, see, we get beside ourselves and we overlook the fact that heaven is the Spirit. And that when you get in the Spirit, you are in heaven. So when your spirit was translated into the kingdom of God, it means that it went into the Spirit of Christ. It went into God's Spirit through the Spirit of Christ. And that is heaven. John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And the Lord's day is when His Spirit is present. That is the Lord's day. That's what caused the blossoming of the garden. We see it in types and shadows, that when the sun comes, it is the sun's day. But when the sunshine leaves, though we have the same day, we have the same vegetation, we have the same thing, yet life is gone, the inspiration is gone, the light is gone, the heaven of the springtime and summer, and the warmth of life is gone, and the chill of death is gone. So we see that God, the great light, that's all it is. It's a matter of Him coming or going or being there or not being there. And He is life, He is heaven, He is everything. And if we are in the Spirit, then we're in heaven. If we're not in the Spirit, we're not in heaven. And this is why that Jesus said to Nicodemus, the Son of Man, who is in heaven. So maybe that's a little hard for you to understand, but it says here, and I beheld when He had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. The sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of His wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? For it said here that there appeared in heaven the sign of the Son of Man. It appeared in heaven as the sign of the Son of Man, and all of the tribes of the earth. So that means that as when He opened the sixth seal and the great earthquake comes, it's indicated as you and I as the great quaking. For Moses said, I did exceedingly quake, and the sun became as black as sackcloth of hair. It indicates the withdrawal of the understanding of God and the darkness of your intellectual reasoning as to blotting out the mind of Christ. And then the stars falling from heaven indicate the severing as between good and bad, and grace being lifted from off of those that are intellectually gone, as to be creatures of darkness for whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. There is no light of understanding in their minds anymore. They go into intellectual darkness. And it shows here as a shaking of a mighty wind, as it was in Pentecost when He came to bring the light, and here as to the departure of the light, as to the sign of the Son of Man appearing in heaven, where all of the tribes of the earth mourn. So I just thought I'd say those few things as to a present day truth, as to a present day revelation in the mind of God, as to what's happening to us at this very moment. And God, all of a sudden, through the sixth seal, He makes manifest. Right now you don't see nothing. Right now you don't feel nothing, because as He works a miracle, He makes God manifest in the natural. As He rolls the natural heavens back, He makes the invisible God manifest. It doesn't mean all of a sudden there's great things happening and great power and all this kind of thing. It has nothing to do with it. He's always been great power. The great power's there. The invisible God, the all-powerful one's there. He just hasn't shaken the tree. That's all. See, it's just like I've said, when God does something as to a miracle, or God did something as to creating the world, or God did something as to making a man, it didn't make Him a bit greater. He was just as great before He did it. The greatness, the attributes, the wonderfulness of God was already there. He only manifested His greatness. Whatever He does doesn't make Him any greater, because He's the all-time greatness. And when He does something, it just manifests His greatness as to where I can see it. So then all these things that come to pass, and He brings to pass, and He shakes the earth and he shakes the stars and all these kind of things. It's just like the act of creation. It's just him having done all of these things, even in his foreknowledge before the world ever was, even saving you and I. And then all of a sudden, having done all these things, then suddenly he makes it manifest to where you can see it. And then comes the terror, because we look at natural things, as it was with Moses when the mountain shook. Yet the Bible said, we have come unto the great mount of God, not as to a mountain that burned with fire, but as unto the assembly of the firstborn, as to the church of the firstborn, as to the great assembly of God that is in heaven, as to where the spirit of just men are made perfect. As to justification, he has perfected forever them that he justified. So that means that unless you see, Jesus said, then you don't believe. And he didn't intend for you to believe, so he didn't let you see. Having eyes, you see not. Having ears, you hear not. But to whom it is given, then let him receive it. And as to whom it was given, as Paul preached, the Bible said, as many as were ordained unto eternal life, as before ordained, they believed. And the rest of them, of course, did not believe. Looked like nothing had taken place. He just preached a sermon. All of a sudden, them that were foreordained unto eternal life suddenly became eternal as to the accepting of the gospel. And them that did not believe, nobody saw anything happening. It was just that simple. All right, let's stand together. I thank you for your kind attention. I just talked with you tonight, exhorted you tonight, as Jesus would if he had been here. And to them that understand, he was here. There's two or three gathered together in his name. He said it not be the minister speaking. Let's just sing a little chorus together. Oh, come in to my heart. Oh, come in to my heart. Come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in today and come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Sing it again. Oh, come in to my heart. Oh, come in to my heart. Oh, come in to my heart, Lord Jesus. Just come in to and come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. You know what? See, the light comes. And this is the condemnation that has come into the world. That light has come into the world. And this is the condemnation unto men, that men love darkness rather than light. That is their intellectual reasoning, because it fits their deeds of darkness, and their deeds are evil. As it is with the natural Jew, he doesn't understand spiritual things. So God doesn't appear to him as the Christ. He brings the natural Moses back to him. And it's through the tutoring of Moses and Elijah that their eyes are open. As Paul, 3 years in the wilderness, and he received the revelation. As to the Jews, 3 years. As to Moses and Elijah, they get their understanding open. So you receive spiritual enlightenment, and they will at the last hour receive spiritual enlightenment. But first of all, they're natural. Jew first. They're natural. And they have to have the natural symbols, the natural ordinances Because God said, as in heaven, so in earth, and nothing is done in heaven that is done in the earth, so that we can see all things in heaven. That is to say, all of the invisible things of God from the creation of the world being clearly understood by the things which do appear, even to the eternal Godhead, so that we are without excuse, which means that the natural things are types of heavenly orders. God said, Moses, see that you make all things in the earth according to this pattern that showed you in heaven. All the spiritual things in heaven that you've seen, let them make natural types of it. And take a natural people, which is the Jews. And I'll lay down a program and we'll write a book. Well, the Bible said you're an epistle that's known and read of all men. God has written this within the heart. And he's given a people, he's given a sign, he's given an understanding. For them that can see, he hath opened a door in heaven, as into the Spirit. For what is heaven? The Spirit. Anytime the revelation comes, that is the Spirit. That is Christ. That is his mind. Anytime that comes, that means heaven has come down to earth. The law and the prophets until John, since that time, heaven has come. Well, the kingdom of heaven is now at hand, and we are translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. Well, that is to say, the Jews said, where is it? I don't see it. Jesus said, it cometh not by observation. So they missed it, and it was deferred until Daniel's last week, so that we could come into it as a spiritual true Jew, into a spiritual kingdom. So then in coming into the Christ, then we see that we have been translated into the marvelous kingdom of God, having bypassed death, having passed from death unto life, never to come into condemnation as to the spiritual Jew, the inner man, the flesh profited nothing. God killing him by Calvary, burying him in a watery grave, and taking the spiritual man on through the great godly transitional changes to bring him to the ultimatum in Christ. Travailing till Christ be formed within you. That is the forming of Christ, the great wonderful Christ that will be seen here at the church ages ending. Thessalonians change when the world looks upon it as to the life manifested in the human body. So it means that it has happened to us. It has happened to us just according as what he said it would happen. And the world couldn't see it. Now it is ready to be made manifest, and God through the Thessalonian change is ready to unveil his masterpiece. The child coming forth, having been hid from the world. All of a sudden he will be revealed. And then they will see what has taken place down through the years in this great, wonderful thing. Both the Jews being haughty, being natural, God blinding them in part. Brother Branham is following and relating to that. Then as to the Jews, as to numbers of them here that have followed me, they really haven't followed me. They have followed Brother Branham. And somebody says, how do you mean that, Brother Pike, as today? Well, I said, I mean it both ways. They never did give themselves to me. Though they came here, they still held on to the old order, which, as we say, was Brother Branham. And we can say Brother Branham because it wasn't the Christ. Because it was the Christ in Brother Branham that used that little tabernacle till God laid it down. And as the Jews went their way when Jesus was smitten, so that they went their way when Brother Branham was smitten as to the wreck. And as to the Christ that came out of Brother Branham, and those that went on with Christ as with the spiritual Jew, so has it been that those that came forth with the revelation that believed in the real truth of the Christ within that little tabernacle that we spoke of, as to the cornerstone there, you remember what we said about it, the deterioration. As to the Christ that came out, then they have continued on. As to the voice of healing, it was Brother Branham. It was changed to Christ to the world. That is, as we say, Christ is the answer, the president doing obeisance unto it. Our press is exactly the same press, they say, that Brother Branham's got, which had to be that way as to the carrying over, and in that the voice of healing was Brother Branham's ministry heading up in Dallas, then our press had to come from Dallas, Texas, as to the carryover when the voice of healing went out. And that, of course, is where we got it. And in that it was had been tattered and old, beaten, misused and set in a corner. We took it, we brought it back to the new. We restored it and brought it back to the new so that it could carry on. And this time, not as to quotes, but as to the revealing of the mysteries, that which comes out of the veil. That's why Joseph majorly is dealing with Africa at this moment as to Brother Branham's message, that within the veil. So it is a wonderful thing as to Joseph coming on the scene, as to what he represents, and as to the man Carver that came over. How shrewd was the thing that was the middle wall of partition between three brothers that had to be smitten, as to an intellectual thing, as to bring together unity or unification of life. So it's so beautiful as to what God does. And maybe we see, maybe we don't see, but nevertheless, it's still the wonderful works of God. The Bible said, as he walked with them on the way to Emmaus, did not our hearts burn within us as he opened the scripture to us by the way? Wherever Christ comes, he always opens the scripture to us, that we might understand, that we might know, to see what is happening. So as to the Gentiles, he has done his work. As to Aaron officiating within the temple of the human heart, and as to the finishing of that, he goes back to his body to return into that body that is sitting on the throne that relates to the Jews, that he might come back to Israel. As it is written out of Zion, there shall go forth the deliverer, and he shall turn ungodliness away from Jacob, and the whole house of Israel shall be saved. As to the sign of the Son of Man, as to the sixth chapter, as to the opening of the sixth seal, as to the shaking of the tree and the untimely figs falling, all of these things we see as to the coming of the Lord Jesus. Everything is shaping up. Everything. And Al's death, of course, has to do with that, and many multiplied things that we could say. So let's sing another chorus. And while we sing this chorus, the altars are open. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet spirit, sweep over my soul, for my rest it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet spirit, sweep over my soul. Sing it with me now. For we've anchored our soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. You know, it's like my George Jr. Got a call from George Jr. He was supposed to call me back at 7. We was having a little meeting, and we deferred it just a little, and then Brother Al died. And when George Jr. contacted us, he was weeping, and he said, "Oh, Dad," said, "please use me in the work of God." He said, "Help me." He said, "I'll shave my beard." He said, "I'll conform to anything you say." He said, "I'll do anything that you tell me." He said, "I've made a mess of my life." And said, "My wife and I have decided the same thing." And said, "Please, Dad, use me." He said, "This one time, please, Dad." See, as to the man child, Brother Al, the birth, and the firstborn being born and crying from the spanking. That is to say, being caught up to the throne saying, "Please, Dad, please, See, everything working right in order. Having come out of Alaska, we spoke of Little Joe being caught up to the throne, the Pope, Billy Graham, those meeting there. And then all of a sudden, Joseph being at the house the way he is. Joseph taking over his dad's ministry, and we spoke of Brother Bullard and what he had to do with, he and his wife, as to the sacrifice. And Brother Bullard, of course, goes back to that we spoke of the red heifer, as to their family. And as to the red heifer, as to Brother Walton, the one that we bought the boat from, Redemption, New Orleans, the different things we said about the boat, and then Brother Walton giving us a red heifer that we have down in the pasture, Brother Sister Gill's place. See, as to the ashes of the red heifer, as to Brother Bullock and my son George Jr. going over in that area where Pope is right at this time, where the house is, and then calling from there about the time that Philip comes over and the thing of the child being caught up to the throne. So it's so beautiful. At the same time, David was going up in the plane, catching up, one crying, the other being caught up, as to going to pick up his little family down in Florida that had been there through the New Year's Eve without him. Going the new order. Let's just slip our hands up and let's think on the Lord Jesus tonight. And let's remember, folks, it all started in the beginning. There was a voice that let there be, and there was. And that same voice, the same to a thousand generations, has not changed. It's the same. That voice is still saying, let there be. And there he is. And that same still small voice, that's when the mountain was rent. God displayed his power and ability. He rent the mountains. The fire broke out, but the Bible said he was not in there. He was not in the mighty wind that rent the mountains. He was not in the fire. But the Bible said a small, still voice said, Elijah, what doest thou here? And he was in that small, still voice. As a beautiful, dove-like approach, gentleness to men coming into their hearts, it is Christ. The small, still voice of Christ, so small that sometimes you don't feel nothing. It just comes in. That small, still voice unveils itself within you to make our hearts burn like fire on the inside, as to the spiritual change of the transformating of the mind and the translating of the inner spirit into the kingdom of heaven. And as to the blessings that we receive upon our bodies through this wonderful transitional change. So tonight it's a great, wonderful thing, folks, to be able to understand this and to be a part of the things that God is doing. We speak of Bethlehem, the house of bread. Bethlehem, where Jesus was born. It's a wonderful thing. It's in a Western perspective to see a Christ child born within your heart. For God is bringing forth a man child, and something wonderful is taking place. So while you've got your eyes closed and your hands lifted, I'm going to ask Brother Jimmy Kirk to come back up tonight to pray the closing prayer, which would be a fitting thing, as we say, as to the man child coming forth. Jim has to do with the church anyway. And as to the travail of the church, when Zion travailed, she brought forth her sons and daughters. Little Bethlehem went through a great travail. The police pounced on it, as in the early church. Everybody pounced on it. Everybody criticized. Everybody found fault. They called it a cult. They called it all kind of things. They called Jesus all kind of names. All kind of names. But nevertheless, he was the Christ child. And it did happen exactly the way that the Lord said. So as Brother Jim comes to pray with you tonight, remember, folks, the songwriter said, and it happened just like he said.